The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! Hola, and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Brian Hanley in for Cap, this is Jonathan Hood. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch our show every morning. And give us a call, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Brian. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jay, what's up, man?
You know what's up. There's a lot that we got to get to between now and 10. Then we're going to crosstalk with Carmen Yurko coming up at 10 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. So I'm so glad you're on the show today because we just need a different voice to maybe calm the waters of those that root for the blue and orange with the Chicago Bears. It's like you and I, with me, I've produced your shows. I've hosted with you before. So it's not like you and I don't know the ebb and flow of a Bears season when a young quarterback is in place. And it just seems as though in the 2022, some Bears fans are not patient enough or don't understand what's going on when you are in a rebuilding situation. It's an odd thing because coming into the season, you've taken calls on your shows, and I know that we have here on Cap and J Hood the idea that, you know, this Bears team, because it's a new regime, this should be an 8-9-10 win ball club. And it's like you could see that there was a lane that was built by Poles and Eberflus to be able to rebuild this thing, and some don't see it that way.
Yeah, you know, so a week ago Sunday when people were heading to Soldier Field, I asked the question. I thought I was in the majority, right, at the beginning of the year. I mean, Vegas had 6.5 win total for the Bears for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. And we know all the national voices said they're the worst this, the worst that, the worst offensive line, the worst group of receivers. You know, they're at the bottom of everyone's projections as a team and individual groups. So I thought the whole idea of the exercise was to see if you have the franchise quarterback. And this isn't Caleb Haney, right? This isn't pick one of the 40 quarterbacks that have come and gone since Brett Favre showed up in Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers took over for him. You know, this regime was going to give, I believe, Justin Fields basically 1 year to figure out what they have here. And if they don't, after, you know, week 17, if they don't believe he is a franchise quarterback, they're not giving him a second season to wait and see. Because Ryan Poles is sitting on $110 million or so, give or take, in salary cap money, which he better spend next year. But, you know, this I get if you're going to Soldier Field, you want to see a win. If you're investing 6 hours of your day out there once a week or once every couple weeks,
yeah,
you want to leave the stadium feeling good about it, okay? But you're beating the Texans, okay? Where's the parade route for the Super Bowl? I mean, it's still got to be all about Justin Fields. And maybe that's not fair to every other guy in that locker room, and they should be trying to win every game that they're out on the field for. But, Jay Hood, tell me how many of these guys are going to be around in 3 years if that is, in fact, the timeline to start competing again after a rebuild.
Well, I think that this past offseason told you all you need to know about the direction that the Bears are going to take in that. You say, well, who's going to be around in 3 years? Well, I mean, Khalil Mack is gone and the regime has just started. Same thing with Allen Robinson.
Sure.
Same thing with these. So there is a reason why that these veteran players that were getting paid handsomely on bad teams are now gone because you're clearing the decks for the cap space. And your point is well taken when you talk about the amount of emotional and financial investment you have in the team, in the Chicago Bears. It galvanizes the city. This is the only time where Sox fans and Cubs fans can actually get along. You know, where because they're there for one common cause, the Bears, Hawks fans, Bulls fans, all together because they all want to see the Bears succeed. But you wanted Pace and Nagy out so badly. Okay, so this is what it looks like when you have change. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, I don't begrudge anyone who's putting their hard-earned money down for season tickets or even individual game tickets, right? And because maybe I've been doing this for so long, you know, from the press box, you forget what that feels like. But if you're – are you okay if the Bears win a game and Justin Fields is terrible, yet they still find a way to win the game? Is that a feel-good for the week? I mean, which scenario would you rather have? Justin Fields looks like an all-star and the Bears, you know, unfortunately lost the game because the defense collapsed in a final drive or, you know, someone dropped a pass, a would-be touchdown. I mean, I would rather still know that the quarterback looks like he's the real deal, even if you end up with 6-7 wins after it's all said and done, versus winning a handful of games you shouldn't have won. And yet he's sitting there with a 27 passer rating like a week ago. I mean, maybe I'm in the minority. I don't know. I just the scenario where everyone else plays well and Justin Fields doesn't and you win a game and we're supposed to be okay with that. To me, it's still all about Justin Fields.
Yeah. And so I think that some will look at, you know, shows like Get Up or Greenberg and First Take, and they see the lower third, the bottom of the screen, Brian, and it says, Have the Bears done right by Justin Fields? Are the Bears doing all they can to help Justin Fields? And for that question to be posed on these sports TV shows means that you don't know what's really going on at House Hall. That's, you know, you don't know what's happening in which they're looking to try to figure out who can play and who can't. This is all an evaluation year, and including for Justin Fields. The light doesn't turn on for everyone. It's funny with the quarterback situation. I mentioned this about a week ago. Look how different the coverage was for football, say, 10 or 15 years ago versus now. You turn on a sports radio show like this one, or you read what's happening. You know, it's funny. Here's what happens, Brian. Everyone is concerned about the quarterback. No one cares about the development. They just want to know, is the quarterback good or not? And you're ready to throw him out after a year if he underachieves. Everything is predicated on offense, yes, but also it's about development. And people do not have patience for that anymore.
Well, and that's why a week ago, Justin Fields had the fewest pass attempts, not completions, attempts since 1978.
Right.
Now think about that.
Right.
And then after that third game of the season, it was 1972. He had the fewest completions for a Bear since Bobby Douglas.
Now, who also ran for his life.
Yeah, exactly. And threw a pass like 110 miles an hour. That's why he played for the White Sox. I mean, he broke people's ribs when he put the ball between the numbers. But that's not development if he's not even getting opportunity. Now, look, a lot of this is on Justin Fields because the first couple of weeks of the season, he was getting more than 3 seconds to throw the ball, but he wasn't throwing the ball. He wasn't decisive. He wasn't he was going through his reads. And he wasn't getting rid of the ball on time. You got to get that ball out. But the offensive line the first couple of weeks, I think, was actually holding up pretty well. And it's certainly been holding up for the run game. But, tell me who on this offensive line is going to be here in again, 3 years.
Right.
Very few, if any. But the point is, he's got to hold up his end of the deal, too, and give Luke Getsy and Eberflus reason to believe. But when you're sitting there going back to the 70s for records in terms of pass attempts and completions, something's wrong. And that's why the questions came quickly about do they have confidence or do they have lack of confidence in Justin Fields? And, the numbers are the numbers and the eye test is the eye test. And, it has to get a lot better rather quickly here.
You know, on top of that, Brian, the number one thing is to be able to figure out whether or not you have a franchise quarterback for the next decade or not. That's so important for this franchise. It never really had that. But on top of that, you want to make sure that you're scoring well with your draft picks as well. I need to know if Jaquan Brisker or Kyler Gordon are going to be mainstays in that secondary. They got worked badly against the Giants And they have not been great so far. But again, they're rookies, and I can wait for that. Same thing with Braxton Jones. He was beaten badly on a play on a strip sack situation in that game against the Giants. I mean, this is a fifth-round draft pick out of Southern Utah. You're hoping he could be something. Same thing with Dominique Robinson, the defensive end. You know, he had a strong debut, and all of a sudden his third straight really quiet game where you don't see him do much of anything in the game against the Giants, the last few games, as a matter of fact. And then Tristan Ebner is the backup running back, averaging 3.3 yards a carry. All of it matters. When you're trying to develop a football team and you're trying to start pretty much from scratch, those guys, along with Justin Fields, it does matter if they're going to be difference makers for the future.
Yeah, and look, the fact that when Jalen Jones was out there, and they're going after Kyler Gordon, they're going to go after a rookie no matter. But they're not even going to the other side of the field because Kyler Gordon hasn't put up any resistance. You know, he was better this past week a little bit. But, of course, they're going to, you know, as much as the Bears are looking at those guys, well, the opponents are looking at the game film, too, and they're going to figure out which is the best way to attack, right? And when you look again, you look at Justin Fields, the whole idea that you're not on third and five, third and six, third and seven, you're running the ball. Those are passing downs.
Yes.
I mean, you have to figure it out, and you can't be thrown behind the line and hoping someone gets, yards after the catch. You know, it's not about yak. It's about Justin Fields. You got to see if he can throw on third and five, if he can throw beyond the sticks and move the chains.
The old give up plays. Hey, listen, you watch all the games on the red zone. You got the package, seeing all this. Look around the league. How many teams are giving up, you know, yardage or giving up plays on third and six, third and seven? They're throwing the football. It could be incomplete more times than not, but at least you are having an attempt. You're trying to get the ball down the field. You're trying because what I notice about the NFL is, you know, not only can you help yourself, but the officials will help you too. Like the littlest contact on wide receivers, it's a first down. So they're helping you too.
I saw the surrender rate. So when they punted with two and change left in this past game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were hoping to get the ball back, and Eberflus said, well, we did. You know, it worked. He would do it again, basically. But you're midfield. You're about the 45-yard line. You're only 45-yard line. But I'm sorry, on that fourth down, you're down by 8 points. You have to go for that, right? You punt it because, again, it tells me you don't have faith in your offense, which means you don't have faith in your quarterback.
Yes. And, of course, Kaplan would tell me, well, it worked out if it wasn't for the muff punt from Velus Jones. It should have came down to that. A fourth and two or third and short, fourth and short, you got to get 2 yards. Bears
also,
can't do that, Shay.
Did it really work out? Because it's between you getting a first down in positive field position at midfield and receiving a punt in negative territory. So did it really work out? Like, you devastated your win probability by giving a bad offense the ball back on the 10-yard line versus going for a first down on the 50.
That surrender rate was like 98th percentile. That means we don't want to win this game. Now, again, I just said I'm a hypocrite. It's not about wins, but the fact that you didn't let Justin Fields have his hands on the ball in that situation tells me, well, not only were you not going to win the game because the percentage said you weren't, but you don't have faith that he can pick up 3 yards and keep moving and take, you know, one last chance of going down the field and tying that game up.
All right. You know what, Shay? Let's open the phone lines right now. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Brian and I want to find out from you, how will you measure if Fields is the guy for the Bears at season's end? Like, how do you measure Justin Fields and his development? How will you know he's the guy for the Bears at season's end? Is it based on the win total? Is it based on how he connects to other receivers? I mean, as we look at it right now through the first four games, the numbers are putrid. But how do you measure if Fields is the guy? Brian and I are going to take your phone calls on that and some other thoughts about the Bears as we move forward. Let's get your calls in here. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Brian is in for Cap. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Come on.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
that you're going to enjoy your Wednesday. Captain Jay Hood, mornings 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley's in for Cap. Cap is enjoying Yom Kippur, or at his home, Yom Kippur, because it's about him. 312-332-3776. Go ahead.
He's doing a recap on Yom Kippur.
it would not surprise me at all. As a matter of fact, Owen, my partner. So if you're just joining us this morning, we're talking about the Bears, of course. But we're talking about the Bears and talking about the quarterback in Justin Fields. And it's just been so much hyperbole out there. I just mentioned in the last segment about, you know, just turning over your right shoulder in the screens here in the studio at the old National Bank studio and seeing, are the Bears doing right by Justin Fields? And it's like, if you just watch the ebb and flow of the offseason, Brian, of course we knew that the Bears are going in a different direction, trying to rebuild what Pace ruined, or what Pace was unable to build.
No, I think you said it right. Ruined would.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to be diplomatic about it. He was a disaster.
Yeah.
Look, the question of whether Cole Kmet is really a legit tight end in this league is still on the table, unfortunately. So, but the biggest question on the table remains. And when Matt Eberflus says, well, I saw growth on Sunday, how could you possibly say that? I mean, relative week to week, I guess you did. Justin Fields was incrementally better. But when you're and basically last in every offensive category when it comes to the pass game in the league, it's really tough to discern growth, at least from where I'm sitting watching those games. So I don't know how much more opportunity, you know, are they going to spoon feed him each week and add a little bit more? Again, it's up to Justin to start making more decisive moves and make decisions and get the ball out and actually, you know, give guys an opportunity. And, you know, if Eberflus really did see growth this week, well, then you should be able to give him more next week against the Vikings. But I don't know how you see growth when you ended up with four field goals and the passing game is still a rumor.
Like I said, I thought it improved. I thought he had a lot of, you know, it's a blitz team. We were playing a blitz team. So I thought he handled that relatively well. But I love the way he was throwing the ball down the field. That's going to open up some more things for us. Yeah, I do. I do think that. And I see positivity there in the passing game. I think we ran the ball relatively well today, but I do see progression during practice, and I saw progress today. You know, and that's a defense that has a lot of pressure, and we still got the ball down the field, which was a positive to me.
I hope Pohl's next hire for head coach is someone that could see. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. I mean, Stevie Wonder could. Never mind. No. James and Gurney.
Was his German Shepherd at the podium, too?
James and Gurney is with us on Cap and J-Hood with Brian Hanley. And all right, James, what do you have?
Good morning. So, real quick, I mean, I don't see much progression. I mean, I seen progression a little bit, a couple plays here and there, especially in Pittsburgh last year. I seen a couple plays where he stepped up in the pocket, slid, went sidearm to Kmet. So my point to you is that can we really judge this kid? I will, because I'll judge him. That's what I do. I sit on my couch, think I know more than both of you combined. That's a whole different conversation.
That's what we all do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Being a fan, yeah.
Can we really judge this kid? I mean, we can, but first of all, can we judge him with the lack of talent in the roster? But secondly, they need to open this thing up. We've already realized we can run the ball. I do see better adjustments than I did in the last regime. I mean, at least they're making adjustments throughout the game at halftime. So my point to you is, let's open this thing up a little bit to begin the game, and then we already know. I just don't think they're giving him enough opportunity to make mistakes, potentially. But then he's holding the ball, so I just don't think they're giving. Hopefully it's going to progress, Brian, as you said. Are they, and you, Hoodie, are they going to start to spoon feed him more? Open this thing up. Let this kid go shotgun. Give him an opportunity to play some ball and get comfortable. Let's really get – it's going to be tough to judge this kid with the lack of talent, but also it's going to be tough to judge him if you got him tied up. So it's kind of – it's tough to say, but I really don't know if this kid has the talent. But then I see pieces of just brilliance. And I think he holds the ball too low below his elbow. I think his throwing motion is a little bit. But look at Patrick's, too. So I don't know. I don't know, guys. If we're going to judge this kid, we need to judge him. I don't care about the lackluster or the talent. Open this offense up. Give this kid an opportunity. Because if you're holding him tied down, it's almost like, I don't know if they really want him around. So I don't know. What do you guys think? I love you.
All right,
great
James.
Job, Ryan Hood. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother.
You'd have to sell me on the fact that they're not they're not going to make a judgment after this season, and that they're going to give him a second season under this coaching staff and this GM. Again, they didn't trade up to get him. They didn't give up all that draft capital to get Justin Fields. And I don't think they're going to be sitting here and say, okay, we saw enough. Let's see if we see some more, even though the rebuild's going to take minimum 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you're spending, if you're Ryan Poles and you're going to spend your $110 million or so in cap money, not KAP.
That's not worth anything.
if you're going to do that, you're going to have to decide rather quickly if Justin Fields is the guy. And I don't believe they're going to go into 2023 and the jury's still going to be out. I think they're going to render a verdict, whether it's too soon or not. I just believe that's the timeline. It's this year, and then either move on or feel like you do have the guy here, and he and Luke Getsy can run a big-time NFL offense in very short order.
James, we appreciate the phone call. Now, you see, he leaves line open for you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. 525 a.m. in San Diego, California, listening on the ESPN Chicago app is Jeff on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff. How are we doing?
We're great. Thanks for checking in.
Absolutely. Cap, first question for you. Do you feel a responsibility being as connected to the Bears as you are? Maybe go to Temple and atone for all of the sinful plays they've made this year.
I'm just telling you, the Bears are going to be a better team than you think. I'm just telling you.
I don't disagree. I want to ask you gentlemen a collective question here.
Yeah.
We're talking about all the physical development of this young player who's yet to be seen as great or not. What about the mental development of him? I've had this thought and feeling for quite some time. Why not bring in some old Bears that have seen winning ways and help this guy off the field?
Like whom? Give me a name.
Anybody from like let's say I'm talking 85 Bears guys. Matt Sui, Mongo, if he's still healthy, balance it out and bring Jim McMahon and give him a purpose actually,
Jeff,
in life and pay him some money.
Here's what I'm going to need you to do. I want you to open up a tab and go to Google.com and take a look at the 85 Bears roster and find out who's alive and who's dead. And find out who's actually around football and who's not. Just Google.com. If you're asking for Mongo to come back, someone is not in the loop.
Go
just saying.
Yourself, San Diego.
Yeah. How about that?
The last thing this Bears regime needs to do is to still celebrate the Super Bowl team. I mean, that's part of the issue here in town, isn't it? That we still fall back on 1985, which was, a while back. Let's just hope that the guys they have in the building at Hallis Hall are the guys who really are their football guys, as George would say. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were our football guys, even though we knew they weren't.
Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Yeah, no. You better hope that this Ryan and Matt are your football guys, or I can't help you. Then the Justin Fields question isn't the biggest question on the table.
Yes, exactly.
It just dropped one or two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the way I feel about this, and if you've been listening every morning, you've heard me say this, but for our new listeners, I'll say this, that Justin Fields is here, and Ryan, you and I have talked about this, as a matter of fact, about whether or not this new regime buys into Justin Fields. Well, I think that they're evaluating everyone, and I think that's the right thing to do. I would think that in the offseason, the Bears are going to upgrade their offensive line. They will find a weapon or two to be able to help this offense. And then Justin Fields has an opportunity to either flourish or go backwards, or stay the same, which is even the worst thing, as a quarterback. What I'm saying is that at the end of the season, if they bring in a veteran quarterback, someone that's, another veteran quarterback.
Hey, Andy Dalton had a good game the other night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All right, that's enough of that, Andy Dalton. If they bring in a veteran quarterback, my whole focus is, it's like, it's still going to be Justin's job. He's not losing his job next year, Brian. I don't believe so. I don't believe he's losing his job next year.
Okay, so that will be the third year of a 4-year rookie contract, and you can pick up a 5th-year option if you believe that's the right thing to do. It wouldn't shock me that, if this is if this is a Justin Fields you see at the end of the season, mm-hmm. and I don't believe that. By no means am I giving up on the kid. But, you know, I think there is a ceiling there, and I hope these guys can get him there, and they have to give him an opportunity to show it. Again, he has to start giving them some reason to believe that. But I don't think they're going to – in year three of a four-year deal, again, the guy they didn't draft, I would believe they would move on. And the other part of getting the quarterback right, if you're going to spend $110 million in salary cap money, these guys, I know it's all about the contract and how much guaranteed money you're offering stars out there, but they want to believe they're coming to a team that has a quarterback. I don't care what side of the ball you play on.
We could do it this way. You could either develop this quarterback by giving him weapons or piecemealing it like the Colts and try with veteran quarterbacks and failing every year. You have a choice, though. My choice is the other way, is the former, is that you find the talent around Justin Fields and you develop the quarterback, you get him an offensive line he can work behind, and then the mechanics hopefully will be there. If not, I'd rather do it that way than just having a veteran quarterback every year. And you're trying to win now, and then you fail and you fall short. I don't want that to happen.
Well, I don't want it to happen either. So I'm hoping that Justin Fields at the end of the season has shown everyone that, in fact, he is going to be the guy. And then, and to your point, then you go out and you get him some stud wide receivers and you actually get him some, you know, offensive line help that actually looks like, you know, they can get it done. I mean, that's the best case scenario, that he's improved and he's grown so much that now you're Ryan Poles is like, yeah, I'm going to go out and spend and give a guy $50 or $60 million to catch the ball that Justin Fields is throwing.
What can Justin Fields improve on with his passing game and the whole offense? You'll hear from Justin, and we'll take more of your phone calls coming up on the Bears. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. How do you as a Bears fan define Justin Fields and whether or not he's the guy or not by the end of the season? We're talking about it on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah. Bro. I'm too sexy for this girl. Too sexy for your girl.
Thanks for kicking it with us on Cap and Jay Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. Brian Handley in for Cap today. That same ESPN Chicago app, you can find Crosstalk Unhinged. They're not the boys in blue, but they do work blue. It is Carmen Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie all together in the studio. You never know what they're going to say. Crosstalk Unhinged. Click that right there on the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking to you about the Bears still to come. We'll have Shot or No Shot at 8 o'clock and Connor McKnight in an hour as we are right here at the last game of the season for the Chicago White Sox. So the man from the ESPN Chicago, Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network is going to be with us at 8:35 right here on ESPN 1000. We're asking the question about the Bears. How will you measure if Fields is the guy for the Bears at season's end? 312-332-3776. All right, Brian, let's go back to the phone lines. We say hello to Grays Lake. Here is Jacob on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Jacob.
Hey, Jay Hood and Ryan, how's it going? I know you guys measure, you know, the performance.
Help.
We can't predict what's going to happen in the future, and we can't predict what Justin Fields is going to be like. But I want to give you Josh Allen's year two progression and Justin Fields' year two progression through 4 weeks. Justin Fields has been sacked 16 times compared to Josh Allen, who was sacked 9 times. And Josh Allen, you know, he was picked off 6 times through 4 weeks, where Justin Fields was picked off only 4 times. But here's the thing. This last game, when Justin Fields was not pressured, he was 10 for 14 for 168 yards. So am I saying that he's going to be Josh Allen? No, because we can't make that prediction. Mm-hmm. But we also have to look at performance. And every Bears fan has to understand that, yeah, just like Ryan said, are these offensive linemen going to be here in 3 years?
Jacob, it was Brian Handley.
That's all right.
Oh, Brian, I'm sorry.
No problem. But, yeah, that's correct. I on that offensive line, I mean, I don't know if you have two guys that will be here in 3 years. So I, part of the problem, though, and the numbers are, you're correct. I think I saw 11 for 15 when he wasn't pressured. So that's great. And again, I'm still buying Justin Fields stock. I'm not telling you he's not the guy. I still hope that he is the guy, and I think it's too soon to say that he's not. But for whatever reason, this coaching staff doesn't want to give him basic things that you know, second and third string quarterbacks will get on a third and five and a third and six. Mm-hmm. They're not calling running plays. I mean, look around the league. You know, boy, New England, they got to their third string quarterback against Green Bay on Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they were still calling pass plays when it was an obvious passing down.
Here's something for you. Shea Norling is a Patriots fan. Zappy or Fields? Were you more impressive by Zappy. What you saw from
easily.
Zappy?
Easily. Zappy. Easily.
Zappy.
That kid made reads, man. That kid, and it's not like he wasn't under pressure. Green Bay got to him a few times, but he just sat back there. He's not trying to move around. He keeps his eyes down the field, sees an open receiver, and makes the throw. Yeah. That's the hardest thing about being a quarterback in the NFL, able to stand in the pocket, look downfield, and find your guy. Fields doesn't do that. Zappy's got not even a start. One appearance, he's already got this.
Do you have a jersey with Zappy on the back?
Not yet. No. It's in the mail. Those things don't ship that quick.
No, no, you can't. That's custom made. They didn't have that in the fan store. No, they don't. They're stocking him this week though, because he's the deal. He's the goods.
It just it sounds such like a Hanley nickname for somebody. That's what. Hey, there he is, Zappy.
Hey, Slappy. I mean Zappy.
It's such a Hanley nickname for somebody.
But to the caller's point, I mean, you. Part of the problem is Justin doesn't, and Shea just said, I mean, you've got to make the decision. You got to be decisive. You got to go through your reads and get that ball out. And maybe it's still a hangover from last year, but Justin looks to run too quickly. I mean, he doesn't, you know, even the pocket isn't collapsing. He starts getting on the move because it's time to go, because I don't know if he doesn't have enough confidence that he knows what he's looking at. So now he's going to run the ball. That's one way of getting hurt in this league, too, by the way, Zappy.
In Burbank, here's Nathan on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Nathan.
Likewise. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Hoodio, I got a bone to pick with you.
Go ahead.
Bears fans have no patience. I was 20 in 1985. How much patience am I supposed to have?
I'm talking about the modern day. I mean have you listened to the show every morning? I mean,
I'm blackpilled. I don't rate players, coaches, or GMs. I rate ownership in their 0-37.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And also, off topic, hey, I was born in the shadow of old Comiskey.
Yeah.
This season was soul-crushing. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good day.
It was. And we'll talk about it, because this is the last game, mercifully, of the season for the White Sox.
Did I see this right? Because they're going to end up, if they win today, they're 82-80. But even if they don't, they're 81-81, right?
Yep.
It will be the first back-to-back seasons of 80 or more wins. Wait for it. How old were you in 2005 and 2006?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, they haven't. I mean, there's sustained success, and then you haven't had consecutive 500 seasons or even 80 or more wins in consecutive years since 2005. I believe that was World Series year.
That's correct.
And 2006. And if they had failed to get over 500 or even 500, it would have been the eighth time in the last 10 years that they would have been under 500. I believe if I had those kind of grades in school, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, you would be in trouble. Yeah. You know what Sylvie calls those? Those are called pop-up stores. Yeah, like you win a division, and then all of a sudden the store's not there anymore. Wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, they were just here for Saturday. Unbelievable.
I mean you know it in the back of your mind that it hasn't been going all that great, but then when you see those numbers, it's kind of a slap in the face. Like, wow.
Yeah.
How is everyone still employed over there?
Welcome to my life. Yeah. Brooklyn, New York, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Derek as we talk about the Bears on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, D.
Hey, good morning, Jay. Brian, how y'all doing today?
We're good.
Yeah, this situation is kind of reminding me a little bit of this situation in New York with the Sam Darnold. Then they traded him and they got Zach Wilson. But when Sam Darnold was here, he didn't have no weapons around him. You know, I'm not necessarily comparing Justin Fields to Sam Darnold, but just kind of like the way things is going is a little similar as far as that. But mm-hmm. as far as judging Justin Fields, I can't judge him, man, because it's like he doesn't have nothing around him. I know one thing's for sure, though. He better get a connection with Cole Kmet soon, because
if
not, then Cole Kmet is going to be out the door. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you. I said that a couple weeks ago. I mean, I don't want to say he's halfway on the road to Bustville, but this is make or break season for Cole Kmet. I mean, a second round pick, and I can count on one hand how many targets he's had this year so far, right?
Yeah, well, he'd like to be able to catch the football, but he's always in the blocking scheme because the Bears' offensive line is so rickety. I mean, I'm glad Blassen Game is around as a fullback. I mean, he's helping. The tight end's helping. You know, they got an iron gate there to try to help Justin Fields, sure. And still it doesn't help. So there you have it.
I mean, everyone's rooting for the local kid, Notre Dame product. I mean, it would be a great story. But, you know, it's getting late early for Cole Kmet, at least in a Chicago Bears uniform, at least from my perspective.
If you're on hold, you will be on the air. We want to get your thoughts on the Bears. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. How do you measure Justin Fields if he's really the guy? We're talking to you about the Bears quarterback and the Bears team. Next matchup is against the Vikings. We're just talking about the Bears on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Shot or no shot. Coming up at 8 o'clock here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000 with Brian Hanley. Jonathan Hood with you here on Cap and Jay Hood. Some thoughts from Justin Fields. Justin Fields, what can you improve on?
Like I said before, we just need everybody to do their job. Blocking, making the right protection calls, routes at the right depth, everything. So, yeah.
What can you do better?
Just making sure, you know, everybody's on the same page and they blitz it sometimes where, you know, I could have flipped the protection or, you know, made a mic call. But, yeah, I think just that and all being on the same page. But, you know, we knew earlier in the week that these guys brought exotic blitz, so I think we were preparing a lot for that, you know. And then, you know, they ended up not even doing most of that stuff. So trusting our training, trusting the basics, and, you know, just executing that.
I remember the exotic blitz. I think it was Covington, Kentucky, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was there. June came down to the ramp. It was weird. June. 312-332-3776.
I don't want to go down memory lane with you to Kentucky, but
why not? It's fun.
If memory serves, a week ago Sunday, when I was doing the show right here on ESPN 1000, mm-hmm. I put out a Twitter poll question, and I've done this the last 2 weeks now, because if you want to know how other people are judging Justin Fields in the Bears passing game, but really Justin Fields, the odds makers on over-under for passing yards for Justin Fields a week ago Sunday, and I thought this was a low total, I think it was 175 yards, over-under. And as Teddy Greenstein said, on the pregame show with Jeff and Dion, most quarterbacks roll out of bed and get 200 yards,
yeah.
You know, when they, even if they're backup quarterbacks, right? In this NFL, and you mentioned it, Jay, with you know, the officials ready to call anything that even looks like pass interference. So that was a low total, I thought. This past Sunday, going into the Giants game, the over-under for passing yards for Justin Fields, 148.5. Whew. Now, I don't think I've ever seen a number that low. I mean, and that's with the clown car of quarterbacks, you know, they drove through Soldier Field for, you know, the last couple of decades. Thankfully, you got 174. So if you bet the over, you cashed. But, I mean, that's what Las Vegas is looking at, right? I mean, that 148.5 yards, and he ends up 11 for 22 for 174 in that, you know, glossy 76.7 passer rating compared to the 27.7 the week before. I just, until there's a 2 that starts that number, right. We're in trouble.
Exactly. You got that right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Melrose Park. There he is. It's Joey G on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay. Good morning, Joey G.
Hoodie, I didn't want to think I forgot about you since you're with Mr. Hanley today.
No, I know that I'm always a top of mind, one way or the other.
Listen, Brian, I got to go with your point. One, it's tough to make a decision if Justin's the guy when the coaches, I believe, don't trust them, I think we got to give them another year if we go out and get talent. But in that second year, I would be definitely on the board looking for a quarterback to give this to give Fields some competition. And it's tough to just justify Justin this year when he's on his ass. Oh, sorry. When he's getting hit all the time. I apologize.
Don't apologize. Yeah, that's how you feel, Joey.
Yeah, that's
And that's the way it's going to be. I just we got to give him another year. The coaching staff, I don't think, trusts him. I raised the white flag against the Giants because they should have beat the Giants. But then the defense failed us. So,
oh boy, you know, the run defense helped.
Yeah, we got to go through the struggle. And then we got to see Arlington get built.
Right.
So I might be dead by then.
No, you would.
Well, who knows?
Wait a minute, Joey.
How many years you got left?
Just a minute.
Yeah. Well,
I got everybody all bothered when I said, when Eberflus got hired, Brian, I said, you know, he's never going to see Arlington Heights. And I said that because the way things move slowly in this state, one. And two, because, you know, the Bears go through head coaches like toilet paper. I was thinking you may not be around to see the next, you know, iteration of Fields when he is good. Who knows?
Well, actually, I always think the Bears, one thing you get with Bears is time to fail. I mean, they about the fourth or fifth year, they want to make sure that you're really a bust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't give you like 2 or 3 years, right? It's not like up at Wisconsin where they're canning a guy who's got a winning record. But I'd have to ask Adam and Chris on the College Football Tailgate show. What does that quarterback draft class look like next year?
Not good.
Not good? Okay, so then maybe, you know, if you had 2 or 3 or 4 guys that you believe are can't-miss quarterbacks and they're going to be, you know, stars in the league, then you can't wait on Justin Fields if he doesn't give you reason to believe this year. Okay, but so if there's nothing, you know, there's nothing, no guy on the board that you really feel good about, well, then maybe, you know, again, this is all for conversation. I hope Justin Fields, by the end of the year, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that he's improved by leaps and bounds and you can move forward with him. But
if we're doing this show in late December, back in 63, no, if we're doing this show in late December, Brian, and we determine that out of the sophomore quarterbacks that Justin is second best behind Trevor Lawrence, I'll take that. I'll definitely take that. Because at this point in time, he's last. And that's behind behind Davis Mills, quite frankly.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Trevor Lawrence had a half against the Eagles, right? I mean, which is, you know, pretty damn good team this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a full game against them, but I haven't seen, you know, a half from Justin Fields yet. And, you know, last year I just flushed that because, you know, idiots were, you know, running the asylum. So, but again, he has to give you reason. If you're Luke Getsy and you're Matt Eberflus, he has to give you week to week, give you a reason to believe. No one's questioning his work ethic, his attitude, his leadership, all those intangibles. But he's got to show you that he knows what he's looking at and going through his reads and doing it quickly and finding the open. There are a lot of guys who are open that he either doesn't see or he doesn't have enough confidence and he immediately starts looking for the safety valve and throwing shorter.
Connor McKnight coming up at 8:35 on the White Sox. But in 2 minutes, we give you Shot or No Shot right here on Cap and J Hood.